Once again, I want to welcome the worldwide audience of the Manifest Telecast. We have been on television now going on 23 years. Can you believe that? When I first went on, I had black hair, and then it turned gray, and it was still black. What a miracle. But now, I've sort of let it go to that salt and pepper look, and I appreciate all the people over 75 years of age that appreciate the salt and pepper look. But anyway, having a little fun with you here today. I want to get into a very important subject for the next few moments to share with you, exposing Satan's new directive against believers. And I have used this verse for the past 2 years. I want to bring it up again, but I want to share with you some things and kind of throw a nugget here, a nugget here, a piece of the puzzle here and there, and put this together. In the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, in verse 25, this is actually dealing with what most scholars believe to be the Antichrist. And it deals with him wearing out the Jewish people or the saints of God. You know, in the Old and New Testament, the word saints is used. And basically in the Old Testament, it means the Kodeshim, or the holy ones, who are a Kodeshim, which is the holy ones, and the ones who are set apart by the Lord. And in the Old Testament time, especially in the book of Daniel, the prophecies there did not relate to the church per se. They related to the Jewish people, Israel, and Jerusalem. And that's very clear when reading what the angel of the Lord said to Daniel when he brought to him those visions, those marvelous visions of the end time prophecies and the things that would happen for the past several thousand years that have happened. Here's what the verse says. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Now notice that changing times has reference to, have reference to the Moedim, or the festivals, the Jewish festivals, and I won't go into that possibility of that meaning, but notice that he will change the laws. And we see a lot of changing of laws around the world, and some of those are not good. Anyway, let's keep reading. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, that's 1 year, times, that's 2 years, and a dividing of time is half a year, or 3.5 years. And that's the actual control of the Antichrist, is the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. He signs a treaty at the beginning of the seven, but then he is in full control with 10 kings for 42 months, or for 3.5 years. Now, if you look at this passage that we were just sharing with you, it says that he will wear out the saints of the Most High God. Now, there is the Antichrist, who is the person that will come in the form of a man identified in the New Testament with the pronouns him and he. He will be a man. And then we have what's called the spirit of Antichrist. For the Bible talks about for the mystery of lawlessness, the spirit of iniquity, and there is a spirit of Antichrist. Now, the spirit of Antichrist, according to the Apostle John, was already in the earth in his day. So the man called the Antichrist is coming at the end of days, but the spirit of Antichrist was all the way back in the time of John. And John's definition was that the spirit of Antichrist was the spirit that would deny that Jesus is the Son of God and deny the relationship of the Son with the Father. Now, when you talk about this spirit of weakness, this is the attack that the enemy is bringing against everyone I have met. And the COVID situation did not help, because the COVID virus does create something that is very strange, and that is it creates a physical tiredness in the body. Now, I have had the main COVID several years ago, then I had the sub-variant a while back. And the sub-variant, for me personally, was not near as bad. I just took some things and got over it very quickly. But the one effect it does have is it makes a person very, very tired. And there are people that have said, man, for a year or two after having this virus, I just struggle with ups and downs. I feel great. I go through a dip. I feel great. I go through a dip. Now, I'm not a doctor or a professional in understanding why that happens, but it does happen to literally millions of people. But this spirit of weariness that we're talking about here is very different from what we're talking about, just the after effects of a COVID virus. This type of weakness is a spiritual attack, and I want to make that very clear. And we can see that when you look at the word spirit of infirmity. The word spirit of infirmity, or the word infirmity, I should say, is alluded to 7 times in the New Testament. It's the same Greek word asthenia, and it actually can refer to a feebleness that is in the mind, a feebleness that is in the body, or a feebleness that is in the spirit. So therefore, you can be weak in your mind, weak in your body, or weak in your spirit. Now, the COVID aftermath, or after effects, I should say, can affect the body. But what affects the soul and the spirit? And that's what we're going to deal with, is the effects of this attack of the enemy to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Now, in Luke 13, pardon me, in Luke 13, verse 11, Jesus encountered a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. And the Greek word there again is asthenia, a spirit of weakness that was in her body for a very long period of time of 18 years. And it says that she could not lift herself up. She was bowed over. She was humped over. And it was something that was affecting her nervous system or the vertebrae of her back. Had she been living today and gone to a medical expert, we don't know what he would have diagnosed this as in the natural realm. And, you know, of course, these type of people that were sick back in the time of Christ had to, you know, go to physicians who basically had just, we'd call them quack doctors today. Eat this herb, eat this root, mix some garlic with that lemon juice. I don't know what they would have said, but there was nothing they could do with this woman. But Jesus detected it was a spirit of infirmity. In my opinion, that is the type of spirit that has been unleashed throughout the world, but we especially see it attacking men and women in the body of Christ with what we call the spirit of asthenia, or the spirit of infirmity. Now, if we look at the word infirmity, it actually can be a weakness of some kind. And I want to keep that word weakness in front of you to help you understand this, that as I said earlier, COVID can produce a physical weakness, or your body being out of order with high blood sugar, etc., can create a physical weakness. And but then there are also mental weaknesses where you get overwhelmed with the number of crises that are coming your way. You get overwhelmed by economic difficulties. You get overwhelmed with all the high prices and the high rent. I mean, even in our little town in Cleveland, Tennessee, I say a little town, about 130,000 people in the county, I've heard that's the number. And people moving here, but there's so many apartments being built, but even the apartment rent is just going up ridiculously all over our town and everywhere else it's happening. So there is this mental pressure that builds up in a person that causes them just to become weak. They become depressed. So there's a physical weakness, but there's also a mental weakness, which leads to what we call oppression or types of depression. Then there is the spiritual weakness. Now, the spiritual weakness might be one which is a little bit difficult to explain what is a spiritual weakness. But when you have a lack of desire to pray, when you have a lack of desire to go to the house of God, when you have a lack of desire, you know, to fellowship with God's people, when you have a lack of desire to fast, then there is a spiritual weakness that has come into your human spirit. So we, you know, what the bottom line is this, that I believe that the wearing out strategy of the enemy, or the kind of the new directive against the majority of believers, is a spirit of asthenia, or a spirit of weakness, or what we'd call a spirit of infirmity. It's a wearing down strategy. Now, pay attention to this, because this is very interesting. The book of Daniel starts out in the Hebrew language, and then it skips over into the Aramaic language. Then in the latter chapters, it comes back to the Hebrew language. And that's because the Syriac Aramaic language was being spoken, you know, years ago, back in the time of Daniel, in that part of the world. So there was, that's why the book of Daniel changes languages, sort of like right after you start reading it. Now, we read it, of course, in the English language, but to understand, pardon me, I have a little bit of congestion. To understand certain words that are in the Bible, you must go back to the original language of whether the Hebrew, parts of Aramaic, or the New Testament, Koine Greek. Then you can get a fuller understanding of what the scripture is talking about. Now, this phrase is Aramaic. He shall wear out the saints. In Aramaic, it's the Aramaic word bila, and it means, watch this now, to decay or to afflict in a mental sense. Now, if I were to say to you, boy, I really feel wore out, you would think I'm tired, and I may be. But when you talk about wearing out in a mental sense, the idea here is he will put such pressure on people. The spirit of Antichrist will put such negative pressure on people that they will mentally become weary. they will mentally wear down. They will mentally become tired. There'll be so many attacks in the form of mental strongholds that people will just not even know what to do. They won't know how to handle what's going to happen in the days ahead because of the combined pressure that's going to be placed upon them. Luke 21:26 says that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. Now, fear can be an emotion, but fear can affect the mind. Anyone will tell you that extreme fear can shut down the immune system of the body. That's a known fact. And extreme fear can also affect your spirit. So fear is one of the most powerful tools that the enemy has. And so when fear comes in, it creates a complete total weakness in the body and the mind and the spirit. I mean, let me give you an example. I know this has happened to you. Trust me, if you drive in Cleveland, Tennessee, when your light turns green, you better look both ways because there are more wrecks with people running lights in this town than any place I've ever heard of in my life. All the time it happens. But have you ever, let's say you were going and you went to go and a car just runs a light and you didn't see it and you come that close to hitting it, or you're distracted and you look up and you're about to hit a car. And you know that feeling you get? It's a rush of adrenaline, but your heart starts pumping. You know that feeling that comes. So fear affects the heart and fear affects the mind. So we have to guard ourselves and understand that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Let me explain something about the days of Lot. This is a verse in 2 Peter 2:6-8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. Now, the Amplified says it this way: he was greatly wore out and distressed by their conversation. Now, when I say conversation, you think I meant what I'm saying to you, the words I'm using. The Greek there is actually the word for behavior. In other words, the behavior that he saw taking place among the men in the city greatly wore him out and greatly distressed him. One of the books, and again, this is not an inspired book, and some people don't like me even mentioning this book, but this book is mentioned twice in the Old Testament, and a copy was found in Mount Sinai in a monastery, translated by the British in 1840. What it does, it kind of fills in the blanks with what you read in the stories of the Old Testament, but it says there in that writing that the men of Sodom put beds in the street, and when a stranger would come through, they would tie them in the bed. This is one of the reasons why Lot told the two strangers that came in, get inside my house and stay inside my house. And then the men said, bring them out that we might know them. They were going to bring them out and lay them in one of those beds, apparently. And that's, again, kind of, now imagine living in a city. Lot did. But imagine living in a city where the culture has accepted doing that to men who come into the city or to strangers in your city. Now, that's how twisted that city had become in Genesis chapter 19. So their behavior was grieving Lot. Now, the word vexed is used twice in 2 Peter here. The first word, when it says that he was vexed, it means to be wore down. And the second time the word vexed is used, where it says it vexed his soul, it actually is the Greek word. It changes the word there for the Greek word translated vexed in English to the word mentally torment. Like, he was mentally tormented by what he saw taking place. Now, let me say something about the Holy Spirit. If my father, who was a full gospel minister, and my grandfather, and especially my great-grandfather, who was extremely, very strict in what he called holiness, if I were to bring them back today, every one of them would be so grieved in their spirit by what they see taking place in the earth, especially what they see taking place in the body of Christ. Now, there was a day our denomination that I was associated with as a kid believed that you should not go to movies. And they just said, we ask you not to go to movies. And of course, back in that day, movies were not near as bad as they are today. And this is years ago. But if we see Christians going to movies, and I will see Christians say, oh man, you got to watch this movie. And we will look it up, because you can take an app and look up the movies now, and it will have God's name in vain, GD, four times. And Pam and I look at each other and say, how do you go and watch a movie and pay money to hear the name of your Heavenly Father taken in vain? And the Bible says in the commandments, do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And in the Old Testament, if they'd have taken in vain, believe it or not, the person under the law would have been stoned for taking God's name in vain. And Christians just like, oh, well, I just ignore that. How do you ignore that? See, you should be grieved in your spirit. I can't tell you the number of times I've watched a movie on television. A lot of times on television, they'll blurt out whatever profanity is used. And sometimes right in the middle of it, you know what I do? I flip it. I am not going to watch it. I have no interest in watching it, because how can I curse the one who's redeemed me, saved my soul from hell, sent his son by his precious blood to save me? How can I listen to that? And so people don't have convictions anymore. And so my point is, you listen to things, you watch things, you see things, you do things. You're in bitterness, you're in unforgiveness, you're in strife, you're in conspiracy to destroy. And yet you think you're a Christian and you think you're from God. And boy, do I have a word for you. But I'm not going to get sidetracked on that. But let me tell you something. There are three sins against the Holy Spirit. This is not off the message. This is still in understanding where we're going with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. And that word quench means don't put out the fire. So when you have a church that the worship is breaking out and they say, everybody quit that, stop that, put your hands down, no clapping here, you do away with what they call the emotion, you're quenching the Spirit. That's a sin against the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That word grieve means to distress or to make sad. So if you live in unrepentant sin and you're a believer, you're going to eventually grieve the Holy Spirit. But you can grieve him to the point that what will happen is what happened in Genesis, where the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with men. You keep grieving him and he's going to depart from you. You say that doesn't happen to a Christian. Go read the story of Saul, where it said the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit that was sent from the Lord began to trouble him because of his jealousy and hatred and his attempt to assassinate David. Yes, the Holy Spirit can depart from a person. And the third sin, and I don't know any believer that I've ever met that committed this, but it can be committed, is called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The sins against the Father and the Son are forgiven according to Jesus, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit does never receive forgiveness. And that's in Mark 3:29. And the word blaspheme is to speak evil of. So in the setting of Jesus saying you shouldn't blaspheme, what was happening there is the Pharisees were saying that the ministry of Jesus was completely and totally demonic. In other words, that he was being controlled by a demon spirit. So you have to be careful of sins against the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you something. When David did what he did, which was set up a man to be murdered, had an affair with a woman, had a child through her, his first prayer was, Lord, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And his second prayer was, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So if you have had the Holy Spirit and you grieve him and you sense him leaving you, that's the most miserable feeling in all the earth. Okay. So let's go back to this idea. The enemy wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Just like continual water on asphalt creates a hole in the asphalt, just like sand that they use these machines to cut these granite out of tombstone. Tombstones out of granite, that continual beating of those grains and that chipping away. So what happens is the weariness will chip away at you. The weariness will create holes in your spirit. But listen to this, Galatians 6:9. This was a verse that I have in one of my first dates Bibles. I still have my early Bibles. I don't normally give those away to anybody. I gave one away one time, but I keep all my old Bibles. One of the early verses the Lord gave me was Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. You will reap what you're praying for if you can hold on and do not faint. Because you see, here's what happens. When the enemy causes you to faint, then you give up on the prayer that you have prayed. And therefore, God cannot answer a prayer you have given up on, because now you're in unbelief that it's not going to happen. So that's why it's important to hold fast the profession of your faith, nothing wavering. And the wavering usually comes through weariness of waiting. But you hold on, knowing that if you do the will of God, the Bible says you shall receive promise. Now, Paul talked about being in weariness often. Now, let me tell you real quick some things I have learned. Number one, you need to cut off the needless chatter on social media and quit going to every media site, tracking people down and listening to people's negative news and people's opinions and people's harassment of churches and ministries. Just stop it all. Block these people who are hateful and negative. Don't go to a YouTube channel and look at somebody who's attacking another minister. That is not from the Lord. It is up to God and the Holy Spirit to straighten up churches and ministries. It is not up to people who are not even in. They're not elders. They're not on boards. They're just people giving their opinions, and they'll put 100 faces of people up there and call them heretics just to get views on their YouTube channel. Cut them off and block them. Don't listen to that kind of mess. Number two, refuse to listen to unfounded rumors and stories. There's a lot of that floating around that has no truth to it whatsoever. It's just someone who's belligerent, who's trying to attack somebody because they want vengeance. So quit reading unfounded information and stories that you don't even have any idea if it's true or not. Don't even go there. Stay in the Word. Stay in teaching of the Word. Number three, rest in the Spirit. There are times Jesus had to get away from people and crowds, and he came apart for a while in the desert to pray and seek the Father. You cannot just go nonstop. I had a complete physical breakdown doing that. I know what it's like. Take time to rest and spend in the presence of God, praying in the Spirit to renew your soul. Boy, I wish I had more time to talk about Elijah's depression that he went through, but I'm out of time. Please watch what I'm about to show you. This is very exciting. It's new. And I just want everybody to participate in what I'm about to show you. I'll be back in a moment.
You, your family, and friends can now participate in America's very first Christian-based treasure hunt, with prizes awarded to the winner with an estimated value of $500,000. The Treasure Book is a fictional story of Perry Stone's daughter traveling the Appalachian mountain chain, using her father's clues to search for a hidden key that releases the door to her inheritance. In the book, a special key has been hidden that, when found, will award valuable gifts to the finder. Follow the rules, compile the correct clues to discover the hiding place, and then retrieve the key. Present the key to Perry Stone, revealing how you solved the mystery from the book's clues to be awarded the fabulous gifts. The prize items were donated by businesses and individuals specifically for this search. The items include fabulous diamond, tanzanite, ruby, sapphire, and emerald rings, valuable earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and gemstones, elaborate gifts from Israel, including trays of bronze coins, silver Roman emperor coins, ancient silver Greek coins, and valuable Jewish coins of antiquity. The prize also includes gold, silver, and platinum American coins with numerous Morgan silver dollars, along with 1 ounce silver bars and silver rounds. Included are American Eagle, graded and slabbed silver dollars, and signed sports and celebrity cards. There is a major stamp collection along with authentic ancient Holy Land relics. Two of the highest valued prizes are a famous and rare 1,950-year-old temple shekel and a beautiful gold Roman emperor coin. Anyone of any age can participate. You will need the book, The Treasure, to solve the mystery of the hidden key. The search is designed for individuals, families, youth groups, and small groups. Work together to solve the puzzle. Many of the clues can be solved from your home or office. However, a trip must be taken to discover the final clues and the exact spot. No one who has in the past or present worked for Perry Stone or any of his ministries are allowed to participate. Eligible individuals can participate by purchasing the 152-page, full-color, 28-chapter book, The Treasure, to research clues to the key's hiding place. The book is $35, and there is a limit to per family. It is only available through Voice of Evangelism and not in any bookstore. Income from the book goes toward the Voice of Evangelism's 7-point outreaches. Order this exciting and unique book by calling 1-888-21-BREAD or go to perrystone.org. You can also request the book by mailing in your donation of $35 or more to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer TR1. Order now and be one of the first to receive your copy and begin a fun journey with family and friends to research the clues and solve the mystery.
Make plans to attend the 2023 International Prophetic Summit, April 27th through 30th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Jimmy Evans, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation at the 2023 International Prophetic Summit. Register now.
Okay, another message on Manifest, but now the offer is so unique. I don't think you'll ever see an offer like this on Manifest again. This is a book I wrote, but it's very different. When COVID struck and I saw all the depression on the young people, on the churches, on the people, I wanted to do something that families and individuals and just youth groups or older people or small groups or whoever it would could have a lot of fun. And this is a book I wrote that has chapters of sending my daughter on a, and it's fictitious, she didn't actually do this, I made up the story, on a trip looking for a key. Now there is a key that has been hid in a certain container, a certain place in the Appalachian Mountains, and if you can break the clues and find the spot, bring me the key with what's in it, because there's some things in it, and present it properly, then you can lay claim, if you can solve this, to a great, great treasure. Now, I'm going to show you, a couple of these actually were Pam's, a few of them, and this came from all the men around the world that are businessmen. This is part of the treasure. This is just a portion. These are some of the greatest and most beautiful pieces of jewelry. This is the kind of stuff you would probably buy in Los Angeles or New York at a very expensive place. You got Tanzanite rings. You've got emerald earrings. You've got sapphire and diamond earrings. You've got cufflinks that have ancient coins in them. This is just fabulous. And this will go to the winner who can solve the puzzle. So I just want to encourage you to get the book and start working on this. And it's not easy to solve, but it is definitely solvable. Also, don't forget to go to perrystone.org and check out how to get to participate in Bill and I's special that we're doing, how to come to the Prophetic Summit. It's probably full by now, but there's people that cancel and we put people on waiting lists. And some of the places we're going to be coming to in the future, perrystone.org is how you find it. Be sure to show up on a Tuesday night to our services here in Cleveland. And we pray that God will bless you in the days ahead. Thank you.